What's up, everyone? Welcome back. Welcome back. This is another episode of Government Coins, but today we have a special treat. And I'm so excited because I'm happy to introduce you all to one of our other favorite government contracting podcasts that are out there. And just before I get into it, so if you have listened to Government Coins before, you know that we focus on providing information to small businesses who are interested in doing business with government agencies and highly focusing on small businesses that are minority-owned, women-owned, and veteran-owned businesses. This season, season three, has been a strong focus on state and local government contracting opportunities. So our partners focus on federal contracting opportunities, and I'm excited to have them on to tell you more about Breaking the Standard, the podcast. I'm so excited. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thanks, Shakia. Thank you for having us, and hello to the Government Coins listeners, and welcome to Breaking the Standard. We are closing the communication and knowledge gap for small businesses in GovCon. I'm Nicole Tripodi.
I'm Morgan Tapp.
And I'm Aubrey Gainfort.
And we're super excited to be here with you today.
Yeah, so this has been something that we've been planning. It's been a podcast episode, a takeover in the making since what? What, it was like February?
I think so. I think it was February when
were
we first chatted.
Were you moving in February, Morgan?
Yes, that's when I was moving. So around February or March timeframe. Yeah.
So it's been a while. So I'm happy it finally really came to fruition. So would you mind just like telling the listeners a little bit more about yourselves, and then, you know, I'll hop in and tell them a little bit about me as well.
Sounds great. Well, as I mentioned, I'm Nicole Tripodi, and I am the founder of FedInform. And what we do is we help companies find and win new business with the federal government. We really focus in on helping companies to navigate their way through the complex federal business development lifecycle, create strategies, and build pipelines of opportunities.
Like I said earlier, I'm Morgan Tapp. I am an attorney, a government contracts attorney at Fox Rothschild. I work in our Washington, D.C. office. I advise clients on federal government compliance with their contracts, how to navigate the FAR. We also help them on the litigation side for any sort of request for equitable adjustments or claims that they may make against the government. And we even do a lot, we work a lot with prime and subcontractor disputes as well.
And I'm Aubrey Gainfort, and I'm actually a federal employee. So I work for the federal government. I work for the Department of Homeland Security, and I am a contract specialist, actually a newly warranted contract specialist. This actually came out of Nicole and I having a conversation around what it would be like to be able to offer small businesses different sides of the coin, so to speak. So this kind of came out of us just having a conversation, and thanks to COVID, we were actually able to birth this together, and it's just been a really awesome ride. And thankfully we have Morgan now with us, and I think this is just kind of more of what we're hoping to create in the future. So I'm just so excited that we're here with you, and we're expanding our community of the government contracting side. So thank you so much for having us.
No, definitely. Thank you. And I have to say, I guess something good did come out of COVID. So cheesy, but we threw it in there, right? But definitely. So for anyone who's listening, and also for the Breaking the Standard audience, my name is Shakia Kegler. I'm a founder of Govlier, and we are a company that also works with small businesses. We really are a technology company that is a software platform to streamline state and local government procurement processes. And in the meantime, we also realized that there was a lot of education that needed to happen within the space of working with small businesses as well. So we began providing educational information for small businesses in this space. But more recently, I have been transitioning from the day-to-day with Gublier to actually focusing on commercial real estate and leveraging the opportunity to get into government leases with government leases with the GSA. So yeah, that's pretty much one of those things. Still sticking to what I know, but still venturing into a new space simultaneously. So I'm really excited to have this conversation, but also just really to connect with these three ladies. All of them are in, as you can see, powerful positions when it comes down to knowledge about GovCon, working in GovCon, and a lawyer, for crying out loud, for businesses who are needing assistance as it relates to government contracting work, because that's something that we don't think about as often, like how much support that you really need from individuals in all three of these positions. So definitely excited to have that conversation. And we're going to hop a little bit into the contrast between state and local opportunities and then also federal government opportunities. So I don't know, who wants to kick this off?
Well, I want to share something with you because we are always getting questions from vendors about like how they get started. And one thing I really appreciate about what Government Coins does is they really kind of like engage with their audience. And like, you know, I heard you answer questions live on air and things like that. At Breaking the Standard, we kind of like to get into the details and like really inspect a particular topic. So I'm really excited for this collaboration because I think it's going to give at least our audience sort of a new resource too, in terms of who do you need to build your business around in order to have it be successful. And you all have like a ton of really interesting content for this season. I was listening to your season teaser and also your episode one, which was the individual from the city of Tampa. And so I guess I've got a question for you that could kind of kick things off. And especially like as you've been building out your podcast and the planning that you've done for the season, are you seeing a lot of like crossover from federal contractors into state and local markets right now?
So I will say I don't necessarily see as much feedback when it comes down to federal to state mm-hmm. and local. Most people prefer to work with the federal government because of all the bureaucracy in the state and local space. And how many babies you have to kiss and how many hands you have to shake in the state and local space too, to say the least. But for a smaller business, I feel like for us, the message that we kind of really want to push is start in your own backyard. You know, you have the ability to go to City Hall, to go, like to really connect with the people who are within these departments. You know, Parks and Rec, if I have a business that needs to do some landscaping or whatever the case may be, you know, being able to have the ability to go and connect with these people in person and, you know, it's in your immediate area, your space of doing business. We're just trying to push that to be more for businesses who are just getting started, which is 70% of the businesses, 78% of the businesses who come to us. And that's why a lot of our content is a lot more goofy and like funny. And I'll say that's one of the difference I would say in Breaking the Standard, you guys go into the details about this content. So I feel like it's like a step up from where Gublier is. Like we're the entry level and you go in and you start talking about like proposal breakdowns and just all the stuff that go into it. So I feel like that's why we kind of wanted to hit that state and local space. So I haven't seen as much aside from like those large contractors, mm-hmm. of course, but I haven't seen as much of like that transition from that federal to that state and local space.
Interesting. I don't often come across a lot of state and local vendors. Yeah. I see a lot of crossover from like commercial to federal.
Yeah.
Sometimes federal to commercial, but it seems like really market driven. So, so it's interesting. It's interesting to kind of get engaged in this state and local conversation too.
And how has that been? I guess I would say from the ones who transitioned from that federal to that commercial, I mean, that corporate space, like what have you heard from them in that, in regards to how that process is? Because I think that's a whole nother conversation within itself.
It is. I just talked with a vendor today. And so I encounter a lot of these types of vendors. I do some speaking engagements with the University of Maryland, and they tend to invite the business community to like learn about contracting at the state level and at the federal level. I don't do the state level stuff. I do all the federal level stuff. But as you can imagine, it's a lot of companies that are kind of just commercial companies, like your mom and pop shops, and they want to move into the federal market. But honestly, I think what I encounter more often than not is, like I said, it's market driven. And so a commercial company, when the commercial markets are not doing so well, when we're in an economic recession, they look at government contracting as like the stable option. And then on the federal, yes. And then when the market's doing really well, federal and a lot of contractors kind of like want to expand into that commercial space, which I don't know that that's the right way to kind of make that decision. Like what I end up doing with a lot of vendors is talking about, you know, the federal market is a nice stable market, but you know, there's a lot of things that you need to do. There's a lot of compliance issues, and actually it takes a real investment in building your business in this market. And so it's not like, oh, I'm just going to hop over here for a little while. So that's what I end up seeing.
Yeah. And to kind of go off of what Nicole is saying, we have clients who may be just starting off into the government world from the commercial side. And there are a lot of different compliance issues now that you have to think about. Like, for example, you have to create an affirmative action plan. You'll have to have a code of business conduct and ethics. You have to comply with all the requirements of the FAR. Then, you know, and that's a huge manual. And then, you know, the negotiation power with the government is just not the same as it is on the commercial side. I know one of the key issues that we noticed recently is the escalation of a lot of materials, like steel, for example, and negotiating a higher price because of the escalation of steel with the private sector, with the private owner versus the government. We've seen that. It's much more easier to do it on the private side than the government, where the government is going to be super rigid. And a lot of times you'll see the government will make one decision for one, and that'll kind of be the decision for all. Mm-hmm. So now you have to get the government to just change their mind, and that can just be an entire process in and of itself. So hopping from the private side to the government side, I don't think anybody should be fearful of it, but you just have to keep in mind that it is a challenge. And the same with state and local. If you're hopping from the state and local side to the federal side, there are compliance issues that you need to be aware of. But one thing I will say about that as well, a lot of times with the state and local government, a lot of times they're taking money from the federal government anyway. So it's a lot of requirements that are federal that you're probably complying with anyway. So it might not be as big of a hurdle as you think it is if you're already doing state and local government work.
I like that. I like how you did that contrast between the escalation and the pricing, because everything is market driven in everyday life, except for in the government.
Right.
Like, they want the price they got last year on the things are different now.
Like inflation is going up.
Listen, and they know it.
Right.
Uh-oh. Are we?
I hit the wrong button. No, I was trying to unmute myself when I turned my video off. So I have a question, because I've only ever been in the federal government sphere. So if you're looking at a business that wants to work in, I guess, local or state government, what would you say the biggest challenges are? Because you were saying like kissing babies and, you know, chatting with people and stuff. And I'm sure every state is different in terms of how they run things and how, you know, how it operates. And I'm just curious, because I only know, you know, the regulations when it comes to being a federal contractor. So I guess one of the cons I'm thinking is that if you're working with every state, it's different. So I guess whatever works in like Florida might not work in, you know, where I'm in Virginia, Morgan's in DC, and Nicole's in Tennessee. So, but like, are there actual steps that have to be followed in terms of being a local state or, you know, local contractor? Like, what does that look like in terms of, you know, people who are in our audience mostly that want to get registered in SAM and, you know, go become a federal contractor.
So it's completely different. And I think when it comes down to like the SAM and the state and local, I mean, the federal and the state and local, the point that you made is everyone having completely different processes. That is the biggest, like the biggest thing. So you have to understand everyone's process. What system are they using? Are they using OpenGov? Are they using any of the other platforms? Hoping that they use OpenGov because it's a lot easier to navigate. But depending, some of them are still using paper-based processes where you have to mail in 5 copies of your proposal along with a USB drive that you're never going to get back, by the way. Everyone's processes are completely different and it's very archaic. But then also I would say, I'm really making state and local government sound real bad right now, but but the reason, like, so federal works because it's mostly is digital, but if I live here in the city, I can walk that proposal up to the city hall, right? So that's why I'm pushing more small businesses into that space. But then the opposite side of, you know, the process of doing business with state and the other side of doing business with state and local is it's very, so at the federal level, they'll take a chance on a lot of new or selecting based off price or like costs or quality. As at the state and local space, you'll come in and you'll see the same company who's had this contract for almost 30 years. And it's one of those processes, right? So that's one of the reasons we try. And that's a lot of reason is because people aren't responding to these opportunities or challenging, you know, these awards and things like that. So another reason to push more businesses into this space. They may just not receive quotes from businesses. So that's why they don't have enough competition to go off of, right? Pushing more businesses in there, making there more, like increasing the competition around it would, and I guess you can say this also happens in the federal space too, but I see it heavily in the state and local space. And also, we never want to talk about this, but it's also a heavy relationship driven space as well. Remember, I said coming in there, talking to them, I know these people, I want to do business with them. And sometimes that can lead to nepotism. Right. So that's a little bit of like different nuances in terms of what goes, like what happens on the state and local side that can like increase barriers. Of course, federal level, when we talk about small business certifications, So federal level, when we talk about small business certifications, federal government manages all of those certification processes, those small business certifications. If you want to get registered as a small business, a veteran-owned, minority-owned business in the state of Florida, you may have to do it with the state of Florida. If you're doing business with them, you will have to also do it with Broward County because Broward County has their own process. And, you know, depending on if the city or the, like, it's just so, it's so much more, so many more layers to it, and there's no standardized process. So I feel like everything revolves around that aspect of it. But the good thing about state and local opportunities is, of course, it's easier for you to access these opportunities, get into this space, because you are there and you can provide opportunities in a local space. And they do prefer to work with local vendors, just because, of course, you have more, or they have more access to local vendors. So I guess I would say those are some of the pros of like the differences between the processes of doing business with state and local. I kind of went off on a tangent there. I start feeling, some of this in my heart. So, but you know.
So talk about compliance issues. Like, I'm just hearing, oh, you've got to do it at the county, at the state level, and the city local. So talk about compliance. That sounds like a major headache. One thing I was, I listened to, so your episode with Gregory Spearman from the city of Tampa. One thing that I saw, and I kind of want to get your thoughts on this too, is I was surprised by how I felt that he was very open and transparent about what the city needed, which is something I don't always, you know, feel from the federal government side. Like the city of Tampa, you know, it's a city, but they're having some of their outreach events and they're pulling in multiple organizations to go to these events. They're held in a convention center because they're so big. Mm-hmm. And I think Mr. Spearman was just like really open. We are looking for specific businesses, like shout out to all the Tampa area asphalt companies. So I was just like surprised by how candid and open he was. And maybe it's because they have fewer requirements than a large agency at the federal government does, so that they can be a little bit more open, transparent, and specific. Mm-hmm. But I kind of wanted to get your take on it. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I'll say the exact same thing. You have, you know, as a city or a county, you can only have so many regulations, you know. Mm-hmm. At the federal level, the FAR is enough for me. and then, you know, you add a lot more on at the federal level too, but at the state and local, they kind of just take what the federal government gives them and like trickles down and add or take, well, they can't necessarily take away, but they can put their own spin on things. So then you just have to worry about sticking to their rules, their guidelines, and their regulations. So, but once you, like I said, once you get in with the state and local space, it's sweet, you know, you're home, you're doing business, taking care of your community. So
awesome.
So I have one quick question. And this is more in terms of like, how did you, and this is back to like the podcast, like forming process. So like, what was it after that conversation that really sparked the process of starting the podcast? And then also, how has it been? How's that process been with the podcast?
It's been awesome. I mean, it's been awesome for me, and it's been awesome to like see it grow. Like, I guess I'll answer the parts that I love about it. I think Aubrey and I like different things about it, so it kind of works out. But I'm the one who kind of pulls in a lot of the content, and so we all contribute to bringing guests to the podcast and things like that. But I kind of do like, I don't know, the managing and the organizing, which is stuff that I'm really good at and really love to do. And so I will, now I'm not as good as you. I think you've got your like 16 next episodes planned out. We plan, I don't know, 2 or 3 in advance. And
that's
a lot
all
of
time. Hannah. I can't take it.
Good job, Hannah. So that's the part I like about it. And it kind of forces me to be really on top of new things that are happening in the industry. It's important to do that anyways, and it's not something that I necessarily do. But when you're creating content for a podcast, it's like, oh, what is that thing that SBA published, and what's the relevance to small businesses? Like, it forces me to be more aligned with sort of the current events and to be thoughtful about impacts on businesses.
It's really allowed me to be able to connect with people around something that I do every day, but like in a way about with a community that, you know, Nicole and I are both very passionate about for very different reasons, but or sometimes for the same reason. But I think it's also just allowed me to kind of connect with people that I never thought I would ever be able to connect with. And you know, when we started this, we both were like, well, let's take a chance. Let's see how it goes, you know. And our first year, you know, we accomplished everything that we wanted to. And then we got our first sponsors this year. And, you know, like, it's just, I see like the actual like possibility that we could take this and really go somewhere with it. I mean, I'm not retiring anytime soon, but I truly think this would be something I would like to do, or to help small businesses on the other side. I don't want to be a Fed forever. And so being able to like really see this affect and impact real people, like in a completely different way, like is I think one of the things that I love. And honestly, also when we get actual like feedback from our listeners and being able to, you know, hear how people are putting it into practice, it's just been, it's been surreal. So And Nicole does do a lot of the content. I've taken on a lot of the social media, and it's honestly been a huge learning curve for me. Like that's probably the other thing. We've learned a lot from the beginning to now. And she's going to laugh at me. She's probably going to hate me for saying this, but when we first started recording, you know, we knew nothing about how to record, and like, you know, we're literally sitting there trying to figure out how to record and like what sound control looks like and everything. I mean, I'm literally like, you know, 6 months pregnant, Nicole's recording in her closet. Like we're literally trying to like figure out like how things are going to work. And, you know, it's just, it's completely blossomed into something different. And now we have Morgan, and, you know, it's just, I don't know. I'm really thankful for the process. And I look forward to doing this with them every week. Like I look forward to seeing them both. I look forward to being able to have the conversations that we have. And this is actually the first time we've been together in like 6 weeks. So it's actually really nice to be back together again. So.
Yeah, I was super thankful when Nicole and Aubrey asked me to join the podcast. I was surprised. I recorded a couple of podcasts with them. One where I kind of delved into my previous experience, which was with the Army JAG Corps. And I was able to talk about my experience on the pre-procurement side of government contracts, which a lot of people, Aubrey does because she works for the government, but a lot of people, unless you work for the government, you don't understand how a contract is, how a solicitation is actually formed. So we were able to have that conversation. I think they brought me back one other time and then they asked me to be a co-host. And it's been great. I think for me, what I enjoy the most is that I get to hear and understand what business owners are thinking outside of the legal realm. And sometimes when you're in a job, a certain job, especially like as a lawyer, you get so tunnel vision on, okay, well, what does the regulation say? You know, and what does a contract read? Just all these legalese. And this podcast has helped me to expand my knowledge, to understand some of the concerns that business owners have that may not necessarily directly deal with regulations or contracts, just like general management of a contract, things like that. So I appreciate being able to have that that knowledge and being able to talk to people who can help me expand my understanding of government contracts as well.
I like that. I will have to like agree with all of the sentiments as well. The reason that we started the podcast versus the number of people who, you know, have reached out and said, we heard this on the podcast and we reached out to the agency or whoever the case may be. And, you know, and it went out, it worked good. We got a contract, we got an opportunity, we found a partner. So I'm just like, okay, like it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to like, just get the information out. And, you know, you're doing a service to people by being able to just provide this information and have these conversations, because no one's really having it on this level. I feel, you know, it's either you're in a seminar and they're talking over your head or, you know, like that type of thing. So I thought it was pretty cool, you know, to hear the feedback and the response in terms of how the podcast, you know, is. And I know I definitely tune into a few episodes. Most of the time now, just being able to listen to it in the car is easier. These animals, like some days they do good, some days they don't, and today is one of those days.
It's live, right? I mean, hey, you know, it's, I mean, it happens. The one time,
it's not,
I
think, perfect.
Nope, it's not perfect. I mean, it happens, right?
One day I'm going to put them on the camera and I want to see if they'll just do all of this barking that they got going on right now.
No, they won't even look at the camera if you do
listen,
that.
Listen, this is ridiculous, embarrassing me in front of my friends. But no, so this has been really cool. How can people connect with you and find out more about Breaking the Standard, connect with your, with you, Nicole, individually to get some support from their business, and just tell them more about how they can, you know, do some outreach and find you all, follow you on social, all of that stuff. How do people get connected with y'all?
All of those things. I think our podcast is on, well, Aubrey's the expert on where our podcast resides, but I think it's on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So yeah. You can find us there. Okay, Breaking the Standard. We're all on LinkedIn. That's a great place to connect with me, I think. Aubrey, you know the social media handles for all that.
Stuff. Yeah, we're actually on Instagram at Breaking the Standard. We're on Facebook and LinkedIn also at Breaking the Standard. And then Nicole, Morgan, and I are usually always tagged in all of those handles. We're all on LinkedIn as well. And if you want to email us, it's at breakingthestandard@gmail.com. We love getting questions and topic suggestions and ideas. And I think this has just been a really great opportunity. If people want to get in touch with you or GovLEA, you know, what would be the best way for them to do that?
Absolutely. So to get in touch with me, usually you could just shoot me an email. And that's at support@govlea.com. Just any questions. You can also go to our website. Please go to the website first, because majority of the information that you'll probably ask about is on the website. So go to govlia.com. That's govlia.com. You want to tune into our podcast. We are on different podcasting platforms as well. I think we're on Apple and Spotify as well. But usually if you head over to our YouTube channel, like that's where most people listen to our podcast on the YouTube. On YouTube, not on the YouTube. I sound like a boomer. But on YouTube, and you can, you know, drop comments, ask questions. We really like when people like are engaging with us, so that way we can continue to make sure we're providing the information and content that you would like to hear and see. So yeah, that's how you can get in contact with me. Also on all social media channels, GovLEA, GovLIA, and that's it. But this has been a great episode. Morgan, would you like to share how people can connect with you?
Sure.
If they need some legal help.
Yeah, they need some legal help. I think Aubrey already said, I'm on LinkedIn, Morgan M. Tapp, M as in Morgan. Morgan, my middle name is Melissa and Tapp. And then if you want to connect with me on Instagram, it's a fun Instagram, but I also respond to my DMs. I try to keep it PG-13. My Instagram handle is Morgan_Melissa.
Got it. All right. That's it. So I agree. On my personal one, Morgan, I am on there doing some goofy stuff because that's just in my nature. Like I prefer to laugh and joke and just have a good time. Like that's just it. So I agree with you. GovLEA, you'll get the informational content, but if you come to my personal page, like don't expect that. Like don't even message me about government contracting on my personal page, because I'm gonna tell you to go to GovLEA. Like that's it. Like I try to keep my life compartmentalize. When I'm done, I'm done, and I mean it.
But and I'll give my email address too. It's M as in Morgan, Tap, TAPP@foxrothschild.com.
All right. Y'all heard it. Legal advice, business support. You can reach out and just listen to Breaking the Standard podcast. Like when I tell you any of the questions that you may have that you need to go like in depth with, tune in. I know they have an episode about it already. So tune in. But that'll be it. We really appreciate y'all for tuning in. Make sure you share, you comment, you like, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. What are you doing? If you haven't subscribed by now, like something's going on. We're giving out too much for you not to be a part of this channel. So subscribe. And if you are interested, join our community. And that will be it. We'll see y'all in the next episode. Peace.